Hey, thank you so much for that. My name's Claire. I'm a compulsive overeater, bulimic and restrictor. And I have to be completely honest with you right now, I am totally shitting myself. I have this habit at the moment of saying yes to every single piece of service that comes my way. And my two-way prayer this morning was it right for me to say yes to doing this share today? And the message that I got back from my higher power was, did you not realize that you were only given 23 hours notice, so you didn't have a week or a month to stress out about it and end up writing out the perfect share that's going to impress everybody? It's going to make people laugh, it's going to make people cry, it's going to, basically the message was, so today you'll turn up, open your mouth, let words fall out from your heart. The head has no place whatsoever in this piece of service. So this comes from the heart and hasn't bypassed my head in any way whatsoever. So a little bit about me, my past. I guess I grew up as an only child until I was 10. I was very, very much wanted by my parents, although at the age of 4 to 5, I was questioning whether I actually belonged in that family. And it really hurt my mum when I was constantly going to her and saying, I'm adopted, aren't I? I'm not part of this family. I'm completely and utterly different from you. I don't understand you. I don't. And I could never, ever speak to anybody. So I was like, even a family do. I had very few friends as a child, but the friends that I did have, I was fiercely loyal to. But I didn't have a big support network around me. I had a few people that I could rely on that so we'd be going to family do's and so one of my cousins would come over and say, hi Claire, how are you doing? And I'm like, where's my nearest parent? And I grabbed my nearest parent and was like, answer this question for me. Because I can't open my mouth, I can't speak, I can't, I cannot, I'm impossible, is it impossible for me to speak to this person? And I was like that for like close family members, just like completely incapable of having any social skills whatsoever. My eating got, obviously I'm in multiple fellowships. So there is going to be stuff in here about drink and drug use, by the way, because that's part of my cycle of addiction. But eating was the first one that I picked up, and food was the last one that I put down, and by far the hardest one that I had to deal with. From at the age of 11, getting caught stealing sweets from the shop. Going down to the kitchen in the middle of the night, knowing exactly which squeaky floorboard that I had to miss so that I didn't wake up my parents when they knew I was going to go down to the kitchen and stock up and binge on food in the middle of the night. My bulimia started, not through. I hear quite a lot about people sharing about body image and. And I think the media has a lot to blame about this, about saying that eating disorders have the media's to blame for it, about seeing these perfect bodies and all of that stuff. That had nothing to do with me. I wasn't overweight. I wasn't underweight. I was fit. I was healthy. What happened to me when I was 15 was I was gang raped, and I'd just eaten before that, and I threw up. Afterwards, I threw up. It was just, it was spontaneous. I just like bleh. All of those feelings, the shame, the guilt, the pain, everything just left me. And I had that in my head that this is the way to fix my feelings. I just stuff them all down with food and then I throw them all up. And that carried on for many, many, many years. My alcoholism started shortly after that. I have to share this, my first experience of a 12-step fellowship was I'd just gone and stolen a whole load of massive bag of binge food from Marks and Spencer's. Had a bottle of vodka and a razor blade, because I'm a self-harmer as well. I gravitate normally towards bodies of water or churches for some reason, don't know why, not particularly religious. In fact, at the time I was completely agnostic, but it was a safe place for me to be. So I sat at the front of this church, and then people started coming in at the back of the church, and I panicked. So I dived straight underneath the altar. At some point I passed out, because I had been self-harming and drinking. I hadn't started a binge, but that was the next thing that was going to go. I was sat there in the church going, I don't know which one I want. Do I want to cut myself? Do I want to drink this liter of vodka? Do I want to eat all this food? I did not have the clue which one I wanted to do first. I wanted all of them. I wanted to do all of it, because all of it was going to fix all of my head shit. All of this was going to fix what was going on in my head. None of it did. And then God knows how many hours later, I get this, someone's picking up the thing that they put over the altar, I don't know what it's called, and saying, are you okay? And I said, do I look okay? I've just kind of like spilt like a crap load of alcohol and bled all over the carpet in the church. So she took me home. It turned out it was the vicar's wife. And I stayed with her for the week. And on the Friday, she said, okay, get in the car. And she took me into town, and she dropped me off at the town hall. And it was a fellowship meeting. And she said, this is where you belong. I'll pick you up in an hour. She just left me. That was our mothership. So I kind of got a grasp on the fact that and later on the drugs came into it as well. When the alcohol stopped working, the drugs came in. But all through it, there was always the food. The food was always there. It was always there. I never ever put down the food, because I had it compartmentalized. There was these things that are a problem, which is drugs and alcohol. It's very, very obvious to me that step one around that was absolutely, that was easy to get. It was completely obvious. It was obvious not just to me, but to everybody around me, to everybody in the town, to my family, to like anybody who could see me. It was completely and utterly out of control. But the food was so much more secretive. It was so much more. So I went to rehab for drugs and alcohol 3 times. And on the third time that I went, which was a couple of years ago, it was 3 years ago now, an OA came in, OA, H and I, they came in, and somebody shared their story. It went deadly silent after that. It was like 50 people in the room, because it was the whole of the rehab. There were 50 people in the room. And they were saying people are picking up their key rings and their chips, and like they're on a pink fluffy cloud of recovery. And I didn't feel it. I didn't feel it. I could not feel it, because I was still using. I was still on a daily basis. I was using food. I was using food to fix my feelings. So even though I'd put down the drink and the drugs, I was still addicted. They eventually banned me from going anywhere near the kitchen. There was one. I know exactly where every squeaky floorboard is in that rehab centre, because I binge at night. And I know how to get to the toilet and back, right next to the medical office. And then there was one particular occasion where I got a knock on the door. Thank you. I got a knock on the door, and it was, are you coming out then? And I said, no, she'll go away, and I'm finished doing what I had to do. And I was fucking suicidal at the time. I was totally, utterly fucking suicidal. Sorry about my language. I do tend to do that. I should have given you a warning on that. But it was in that rehab that I found my step one around food. When H and I came in, and it went completely silent in the meeting. And I, for the first time in my life, said, I'm Claire, I'm an addict, I'm also bulimic. And every single eye went bang, straight on me. And I'm like, oh my God, am I actually going to do this? And I said, I don't feel like I'm clean. You're all here picking up your chips and being on your, you're feeling good about, being in recovery. I'm not in recovery. I'm not, because I'm still using. I'm using food to fix my feelings. And then the next OA meeting that I got sent to, and we got sent to OA meetings if they knew that we had an eating disorder. I spoke to one of my peers before that in the medical room, and I listened to her denial and her justifications and all of this. She's saying, your eating disorder is far worse than mine. I don't need to be going to OA. You do. Yours is far worse than mine. And I'm going, that is such a load of bullshit. Why are you trying to bullshit the bullshitter? You know, I can see straight through your lies right now. I can see straight through them. And then it clicked in my head. It's like, that is what I tell myself on a daily basis. On a daily basis, I'm telling myself I'm not that bad. I put this eating disorder into a little compartment that nobody is going to touch. Nobody's going to touch it. You're not coming anywhere near it. And then I realized, and that's where my step one went from here, because I knew it in here. I knew that, yes, for years and years and years, my eating has been completely unmanageable, totally out of control, and very destructive. And even my doctor saying, my doctor would phone me up and say, well, your blood test results are coming back, and you need to go to hospital and have a potassium infusion, because you could die because your potassium levels are really, really low. I'm like, well, I don't have any symptoms. And she said, there aren't any symptoms of potassium deficiency and sodium deficiency. Right. Basically, what will happen is you'll fall asleep, you'll have a heart attack, and you'll die. And that wasn't enough. But when I heard my peer say to me that she didn't think she was that bad, and I realised that's exactly what I tell myself on a daily basis. Like, it went from here straight into here. And that was where I got my step one. I was like, oh shit, this crap can actually kill me. This is as serious, even probably more serious than my other addictions, because this is way more cunning. It's way more insidious. And it's cleverer. And it's so much more secretive as well. So I can get away with so much as long as I don't lose that much weight. No one's gonna care. Whereas if I'm pissed out of my face, obviously yes, people care and they call the police. So that's where I came into recovery. That's where I finally. There was a difference between getting my step one in my head and getting my step one in my heart. When it hit my heart, it hit my heart heavy, and it was like, wow. And that was a total utter surrender. And that's where I started being honest. And I'd worked the steps through other programs, and I hadn't worked them honestly, openly, because I hadn't even even spoken about anything
5 minutes,
to do
Claire.
with food. Thank you. Step two and three came quite easily after that, to be honest, because it was blatantly obvious to me that I've tried my hardest, basically, to destroy my life, and yet I am still alive. How the hell I'm still alive, I have no idea. I have no idea. That's not my doing. That has to be, there has to be some reason why I'm still alive. Step four and five, my step four and five in other fellowships were very different from the one that I did in OA. The one that I did in OA was totally honest, totally searching, fearless, and stuff came up in that that I never came up in any of the other programs that I've been in. Six and seven, I had a bit of a problem with, because I did not want to let go of some of my character defects, and some of them haven't been removed. And I was sharing about this yesterday, like there are character defects in there, and I was asking my higher power, why haven't you removed these character defects? I want them removed now. I want them removed yesterday. You know, like I've said, remove them, please. They will be removed in my higher power's time, not in my time, in my higher power's time. If they're still there, they're still serving a purpose. I still have something to learn from them. Step 10. I've been a little bit lax on that. My nightly inventory hasn't been. I tend to turn to step 10 in times of crisis, rather than doing it on a regular basis, which I know I'm going to pull myself up on that. Step 11 has changed my entire life. The two-way prayer meeting, the On Awakening meeting, every morning except Sunday, there's a big plug for that one, has completely changed. I came into this program completely and utterly agnostic. I did not believe in something. Well, I believed in things that were greater than me, but I didn't believe that there was something that was there protecting me. And then I had to have a look at my life and say, why the hell aren't you dead? I mean, I should have died a million times over. The amount of times, the amount of dangerous positions I've put myself into, I absolutely, totally and utterly, I should not be walking this planet right now. And it's not my doing. It absolutely isn't my doing. So I now have kind of a cheeky relationship with my higher power. He can talk to me sometimes quite sternly. Basically, when I speak to my higher power, I'm asking a question, and what I want to hear is, there, Claire, it's all going to be okay, you're okay, I've got you, and I don't often get that. Often I get, pull your socks up, girl, you know, but sometimes it's quite stern, and sometimes it's very sarcastic. And my higher power has a really sick sense of humour, as it turns out, because I guess that's the way that my higher power can connect with me, because I've got kind of a sick sense of humour as well. Step 12 has been the big changer. Service. My step 9 promises came true completely and utterly, every single one of them, when I got to step 12. And when I got to step 12, I was like, what the hell am I supposed to do right now? I got to step 12. I'd just gone through it with my sponsor. And I thought, okay, done step 12, step one meeting. So I went straight into a step one meeting and I picked up two sponsees. Working with sponsees is just like, it takes me out of myself. every single little bit of service that I can do, that it's not about me, it's about like serving the greater good.
Claire, thank you.
Thank you. Let me wrap up on this one. So yeah, step 12 has saved my life. I'm a little bit obsessive about it at the moment. But sorry if this came out really